The concept of bulldozer justice has been making headlines in recent times, with multiple state governments using demolitions as a punitive action against individuals accused of crimes, even before any court verdict. This has raised fresh constitutional concerns and brought renewed scrutiny to whether these demolitions comply with the rule of law. But why does this matter, and what exactly is bulldozer justice? The term gained currency particularly after incidents in Uttar Pradesh, Madhya Pradesh, and other states where the properties of individuals accused of crimes, often immediately after communal incidents, without waiting for trial, were demolished by municipal or development authorities. The official justification is typically illegal encroachment or unauthorized construction. Critics argue that the timing and targeting, overwhelmingly against members of minority communities or political opponents, reveals the demolition's true purpose: collective punishment and intimidation. The pattern typically follows this sequence: a crime occurs, or communal tensions rise, the police identify an accused person, note that the person is accused, not convicted, within days or hours, municipal authorities arrive with bulldozers, the accused person's home, often housing their entire family, is demolished, and the family is rendered homeless, while the accused remains in custody. No court has ordered the demolition, no judicial process has concluded that the property is illegal, the executive is acting as judge, jury, and executor simultaneously. At the heart of this debate are constitutional provisions that are being tested. Article 14, the right to equality, guarantees equality before the law and prohibits arbitrary state action. Selective demolitions, targeting accused individuals while similarly situated structures elsewhere remain untouched, are inherently arbitrary and violate the equality guarantee. The Supreme Court has long held that any administrative action must be non-discriminatory, proportionate, and bear a rational nexus to a legitimate state aim. Demolishing a home as punishment for an alleged crime fails all three tests. Article 21, the right to life and personal liberty, is also at stake. The right to life under Article 21 is not merely the right to exist, it encompasses the right to live with dignity. The Supreme Court, in a series of judgments, has progressively expanded Article 21 to include the right to livelihood, the right to shelter, the right to health, education, and a clean environment. Demolishing a family's home, including children and elderly members who had nothing to do with the alleged crime, directly violates this constitutional right. The deprivation of shelter is not merely a property matter, it is an assault on the dignity and survival of persons. Article 300 of the right to property, though no longer a fundamental right, remains a constitutional right. It was inserted into Part 12 of the Constitution by the 44th Constitutional Amendment, 1978, passed under Prime Minister Morarji Desai's Janata Party government, which removed the right to property from Part 3, Fundamental Rights. Article 300 states that no person shall be deprived of his property save by authority of law. Authority of law requires a valid law, proper procedure, and judicial oversight, not a municipal notice issued 24 hours before a demolition. The concept of separation of powers is also critical here. The Constitution establishes a clear demarcation: punishment for offenses is a judicial function. The legislature defines offenses and penalties, the judiciary applies them after a fair trial, the executive enforces judicial orders. When the executive begins unilaterally punishing people, demolishing their homes as a form of state retribution, it collapses this separation and inverts the constitutional order. International law, specifically the Geneva Conventions, also comes into play. Demolishing the homes of family members to punish an accused violates the prohibition on collective punishment enshrined in Article 33 of the 4th Geneva Convention, which applies to civilian populations. While the Geneva Conventions are technically wartime instruments, the principle they embody, that innocence must not be punished for the acts of a relative is a foundational norm of civilized governance. Now, let us turn to the judicial history of how courts have responded to such actions. Indian courts have consistently held that due process cannot be dispensed with. The landmark judgment in Maneka Gandhi v. Union of India fundamentally transformed the interpretation of Article 21. Prior to it, the court held in A.K. Gopalan v. State of Madras that any procedure established by law was sufficient. The Maneka Gandhi judgment rejected this narrow reading, holding that the procedure must be right, just, and fair, not arbitrary, fanciful, or oppressive. This principle means no deprivation of life, liberty, or shelter is constitutionally valid without a procedure that is substantively fair. Other relevant cases include Olga Tellis v. Bombay Municipal Corporation, where pavement dwellers in Mumbai challenged their eviction without notice. The Supreme Court held that the right to livelihood is integral to the right to life. You cannot separate a person from their means of survival. Eviction without notice or hearing was held unconstitutional. This case directly applies to demolitions. The state cannot remove shelter, a basic means of survival, without due process. In November 2024, a two-judge bench of the Supreme Court, comprising Justice B.R. Gawai and Justice K.V. Viswanathan, issued comprehensive procedural directions that now have the force of law across all states and union territories. These directions include mandatory 15-day written notice, personal hearing, reasoned written order, video documentation, personal liability of officials, and no demolition without judicial review. Now, how does this connect to your UPSC preparation? For prelims, remember Articles 14, 21, 300 of the 44th Constitutional Amendment and Article 33 of the Geneva Convention. For mains, GS2, focus on fundamental rights and their expansion by the judiciary, separation of powers, the rule of law, judicial activism, and the rights of the accused. GS4 ethics is also relevant, considering state power and ethics, collective punishment, and the duty of officials. Now, let us lock in the key facts and numbers for your revision. Article 14 guarantees the right to equality. Article 21 encompasses the right to life and personal liberty, including the right to shelter, livelihood, and dignity. Article 300 states that no person shall be deprived of their property save by authority of law. The 44th Constitutional Amendment removed the right to property from Part 3, Fundamental Rights. The Supreme Court directions on demolitions include a 15-day written notice, personal hearing, video documentation, and personal liability of officials. The rise of bulldozer justice represents something deeper. The gradual erosion of the presumption of innocence, one of the most fundamental principles of criminal jurisprudence. A person is innocent until proven guilty by a court of law. Demolishing their home treats them as guilty before trial. It also represents the weaponization of administrative law, using municipal and development regulations as tools of political targeting. In conclusion, the concept of bulldozer justice is a complex and contentious issue that raises significant constitutional concerns. The Supreme Court's guidelines and the principles of due process, separation of powers, and fundamental rights are crucial in understanding the implications of such actions. As we move forward, it is essential to remember that the rule of law and the protection of individual rights are fundamental to our democratic framework.